Hey,
Welcome
welcome.
in to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from SEC Media Days Radio Row here at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We're hanging in here. It's a very exciting environment here in the Grand Hyatt.
It's a very
It's a
exciting
very exciting
environment.
environment.
We have
We have
Vanderbilt
Vanderbilt
coming
coming
around a little
around
bit later
later
today.
today.
Looking
Looking
forward
forward to
to
that.
that. We're going to be all day long here at the Grand Hyatt Hotel, SEC Media Days. Lots to get to. Vanderbilt going today. Tennessee not going until Thursday, but off to an interesting start at SEC Media Days. The Texas A&M stuff with Jimbo and Bobby Petrino, and I guess him not really being willing to say that Bobby Petrino's calling plays, but then kind of sort of alluding to Bobby Petrino calling plays. It's always
Interesting,
interesting
right
around
here
here
with
when
Jimbo.
Jimbo goes.
Yeah, I don't, I get Jimbo like being kind of hesitant when it comes to like Bobby Petrino's past and everything, right?
Yes.
Like I told, he doesn't want to hear the motorcycle jokes and all that stuff, which is fine. But actually, if I was Jimbo right now and I was coaching for my job this year, I would be screaming at people that I'm not calling plays
Yeah,
for them,
it's Bobby Petrino.
I mean, the thing is, it's actually take away all the stuff about Bobby Petrino. It's a good football hire, I think. I mean,
Yeah.
it actually could work out pretty well. I'd be telling people left and right, but you just never know with Jimbo what he's gonna not say and what he's gonna say.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And you got, Brian Kelly yesterday, Greg Sankey spoke yesterday about a variety of different things, including Joe. Apparently, at the moment, not really much of an appetite for the SEC championship game moving from Atlanta to here in Nashville when the new stadium comes. I wonder if that remains their thought process, because I don't really have a problem with it as long as, like, when the new stadium comes here, you're getting into the college football playoff mix and maybe the rotation there. Like, I know the
I
SEC
know the
championship
SEC
game's been in
championship game
Atlanta
has
for
been
a long
added
time,
a
so I
long
don't really
time.
have
I
a
don't really have a
problem
problem
with it if
with
they
if they
don't do
don't do
that. But
that
what do you
argument.
think of what
Greg
Greg
Sankey
Sankey
had
had
to
to
say
say
there.
there?
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
saw
saw
a
a lot
lot
of
of reaction, kind of angry reaction, even from like Nashville, Nashville Twitter
Yeah.
about this. And especially, I think people who are opponents of the stadium that were jumping on that. I'm a little surprised because I think it would make sense to rotate it a little bit. But you know what? It is a tradition that's been in Atlanta. It is a they that is a much bigger stadium than this stadium will be. Now the question there is, so basically, as soon as Sankey said no to that, he immediately referred to the Final Four. I mean, without saying it, but he basically referred to the Final Four and the college football playoff. The Final Four, I think, is a lock. Eventually, once that stadium is done, I would hope that like the championship game would be a bid here. It
It
is
is
interesting
interesting
with
with the
the stadium a
stadium
little bit smaller, if that's any kind of hindrance at all. I wouldn't think so. So I definitely thought as they were building it that the SEC title game would be in the rotation. If they are getting Final Fours, Super Bowls, and into the college football playoff, then it'll be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be fine
Yeah.
if you're getting those things. We got a lot to get to on the show here today. We'll have Gentry Estes dropping by at 7:30 from the Tennessean. We're looking forward to that. Scheduled to be joined by a Vanderbilt player sometime in the 8 o'clock hour. So Vanderbilt with their day today at SEC Media Days. Clark Lee dropped by yesterday. Spoke with Jared. So they've been kind of making their way around here already. But Vanderbilt with their official day today at SEC Media Days, and we'll catch up with them in the 8 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that. And
So
Joe,
speaking
speaking
of
of
eight,
Vanderbilt, a contract extension for Clark Lee. So, at this time of year, we talked about the job that Clark Lee has done. He's entering year three and the expectations coming into this year. Didn't shy away from it yesterday with Jared. Says that, postseason is something that they're looking for and that is on the horizon there at Vanderbilt. But
What
what did
did you
you
make
make of
of
Vanderbilt with a contract extension for Clark Lee? We always love contract extension talks with coaches. It reminds me of the Jeremy Pruitt conversation that we had a few years ago.
Yeah, well, and look, I mean, it is a little bit similar in that, like, it's not like to me extensions. That's fine. If you have a regular rotating contract, if you have someone pursuing a coach, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. First of all, with Vanderbilt, like, it just says we're gonna have a contract extension. It could be a year, could be 17 years for $17 million a year. I don't know. It's a private school. We don't know the information. It
It
is
is
early. I mean, 2 years in, I think Barkley's done a lot of good work, but it is early for something like that. So it's so hard to react to because we don't know the numbers or what it means. Like, did he get a bump or not? You know, but bottom line, you do see these sometimes. The Pruitt one is the one we think about a lot, and we will joke about for many years to come.
We will.
But you see this sometimes where just sometimes it's, you know, a coach coming off a really good year. It's not necessarily someone else pursuing the coach, but, you know, he gets rewarded. But interesting day for Vanderbilt on the news front. They also had a great email that said, you know, Calipari joins men's basketball staff, which was – I mean, I definitely clicked on the email. It was Brad Calipari, who is like director of on-court player development. But anyway, some interesting stuff in Vanderbilt yesterday, and more to come today.
Yep, no question about that. More to come today on the Vanderbilt front. Going to be really interesting to see what happens on that front. And Vanderbilt heading into this year, just the expectation with this group. We talked about it last week with Mitch Light. Is 6 wins doable for Vanderbilt this year? Is there a path to a bowl for this team? And I think it's going to be close. I like some of the pieces that they're bringing back. Will Shepard, I think, is really good. I'm really interested to see what this looks like from Vanderbilt as we get into the season and whether or not they can get to 6 wins this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think that they have a real chance. I mean, they got some dynamic playmakers on offense. You know, Will Shepard is one of the guys who's around here. AJ Swan, I think Mitch Light brought up some good points with us in studio about, you know, let's wait and see. There's some promise for sure. Then he got hurt. He wasn't really a part of like their huge wins last year. He has a lot of ability, and if you can grow with a quarterback like that and not let that quarterback get poached, which is how things go in college football these days, then that could really be something. You know, Vanderbilt, last time that happened for Vanderbilt, you know, Kyle Shurmur grew into a very good quarterback, and they were, you know, they were a legitimate SEC football team. So I think they got a chance this year. You know, they got some good talent on defense they were able to retain as well, and it's been a pretty rapid improvement, really. If you consider like their first game against East Tennessee State and what has happened since then.
Yeah, it has been. And it's one of those things where, you know, you think about the path that Clark Lee has taken to get to this point and just the job in front of him when he first started here. We knew it was going to be an uphill climb. And there was a point last year where you started to see improvement. Can that continue for Vanderbilt? And, you know, what does AJ Swan look like in his sophomore season at the quarterback position? I think so much of it's going to be determined by that and what that looks like. So, you know, if AJ Swan takes that next step there, what does that mean for this Vanderbilt offense? Because they do have some pieces coming back that I really like. And Will Shepard, who we may see a little bit later today here with us on the show, I think he's going to be a big part of that. And good that he's still around because he's a heck of a player.
Right. He's very good. They got some other good young receivers. And, you know, the offensive line is where I think there's some excitement in the program with some of the guys they've been able to, you know, the younger guys that are coming up. Running back's a little bit of a question. Interesting, you know, decision from Raymond Davis to go from Vanderbilt to Kentucky right after Vanderbilt beat Kentucky. But, you know, you don't know what all goes into, you know, things like that. But, you know, he was a very good player, so we'll see. They have some good guys that they like there too. And again, Clark Lee's a defensive guy. He's really excellent defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, and they've got, you know, a big thing with Vanderbilt to me is always like, do you have enough up front, you know, to handle the physicality of this league? It's really hard to get those, you know, SEC level defensive linemen, and we still have yet to see, you know, on that front. There's still, you know, a ways to go, but I think that they've got some guys they like in that way too, and they definitely have some good, you know, CJ Taylor, they got some guys who can run around on defense and make plays.
We are off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, the plight of the running back continues in the NFL. Some rough news for running backs around the league yesterday. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, which today is the Grand Hyatt Hotel here at the SEC Media Days. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, taking you through this Tuesday morning. And Joe, we've talked a lot about the plight of the running back position in the National Football League, and that continues yesterday. The franchise tag deadline of the deadline to get a longer-term deal done comes and goes yesterday, and no long-term deal for Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants, no long-term deal for Josh Jacobs of the Las Vegas Raiders, who was the NFL's leading rusher last year, and lots of reaction to that on social media from running backs around the league. Jonathan Taylor made his voice known. Austin Eckler was tweeting about it last night. And, of course, Derrick Henry tweeting about it, basically saying essentially – you might as well just eliminate the running back position at this point based on the way that some of these contract negotiations are going. So, I mean, I don't know that anything that happened yesterday is necessarily a surprise. Like, all the reporting around the Saquon situation was that a long-term deal just wasn't going to get done with those two. So it doesn't. The tag deadline goes, and now we'll see whether or not he decides to hold out, whether he decides to play on the tag. And Josh Jacobs, same situation heading into camp coming up. But what did you make of the conversation around the running back position yesterday? And now that it's official, no long-term deal in that window with Saquon Barkley and with Josh Jacobs as well.
Well, it's interesting. It is being discussed like never before. You know, was it Barnwell had a good piece kind of laying it out? Like it's become a big story in the NFL, even though it's not new at all. And look, I think, you know, so Derrick Henry was reacting to Matt Miller's tweet, right? And this is what Matt Miller says. This is what a lot of people say. Matt Miller says, been saying it for years. One, draft a running back. Two, play the running back. If he's good, three, franchise him one time and then go back to draft a running back. Start the process over again. This is what people said when the Titans signed Derrick Henry to the second deal. There are people in this town, people all over the league, don't do it. What are you doing? What are you thinking? And Derrick Henry is completely blows up the idea that you always proceed that way. But how many running backs in recent times have gotten a second deal and it worked out for the team? I can think of two. It's Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey. I may be forgetting someone. I'm talking, you know, recently. We've had a lot that haven't worked out, right, that have worked out really poorly.
Well, by the way, Christian McCaffrey's deal, he's not even with that team anymore.
That's
he's
true.
With somebody
he's
else.
Still good.
He's still good.
But yes. Yeah, I mean, they went to the crapper. But, you know, and how many have gone really poorly? You know, like you go back to Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley was, I think, the best football player in the NFL in, like, 2017, right? And they played him, you know, and it just – and now, granted, he had an injury history. So it was a little bit different, but – There was a string of them that worked out really poorly. Kamara right now, you know, he hasn't been able to maintain the momentum. It's a lot of examples. There it is. They break down 3-4 years. You better be ready for the next one. But there are exceptions. That's what, you know, I feel bad for. I feel bad that it's viewed across the board because I think smart teams still are able to look at a particular player and say, okay, whatever the title is, how important is this player? How durable? What's the long-term prognosis? But look, I also can't look at the Giants and I can't totally blame them. I mean, I think if he were to not play this year, they become a non-playoff team. So that's his leverage. His leverage is you're screwed this year without me, right? But at the same time, I can't sit here and say that if I was running the Giants that I would buckle and give him what he wants. I mean, I think I'd probably play it the same way, which is tag him and hope that ultimately he decides not to cost himself a lot of money and hope that the Le'Veon Bell situation, which is another example, convinces him, look, man, it sucks. It's not fair, but get paid right now because – you also know your own injury history. You know how easily this can go away on you, right? So, in the meantime, good for Derrick Henry for getting mad about it. And it's just, I mean, it still to me has to be judged on a case by case basis. And too many people, again, with Derrick Henry, said the same thing. No, you don't pay him. How stupid it would have been if the Titans didn't pay him. How are they disastrous if they didn't pay him? So it doesn't always work.
Well, I agree, and I think case by case basis is the right way to look at it. Now, there was one thing that Austin Eckler said yesterday that I don't think he's living in reality. And here's what Austin Eckler had to say on Twitter, and he was talking about the Matt Miller tweet that you referenced of drafting a running back, playing the running back, franchising one tag, and then drafting another running back. Austin Eckler said, quote, "This is the kind of trash that has artificially devalued one of the most important positions in the game. Everyone knows it's tough to win without a top running back, and they act like we are discardable widgets. I support any running back doing whatever it takes to get his back." And the replies to that tweet are, "What do you mean it's tough to win without a top running back? Like, look around the Super Bowl champions." And that's always the argument that comes back, right, is take a look at the Super Bowl champions over the last decade, 15 years plus, and you're not going to find a whole lot of top running backs in that mix.
Yeah, and that's fair. You know, I mean, you have to go back to certainly Marshawn Lynch. I mean, like, imagine those teams without him, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, look.
Imagine if they gave him the ball one more time.
Well, exactly. They'd have one instead of two rings. But also, I mean, I get it. I mean, if you go back through the winners of the Super Bowl in the last few years. Now, you did have Leonard Fournette with the Bucks, and he was important. Like, could the Bucks have won it without him? I would say yes. But he was a good player, though. He was also a discarded running back. The Chiefs, Rams, Bucks, Chiefs, Patriots. Yeah, I mean, you go back through recent times, and other things were valued by those teams. But I would also argue, I think that the Bengals, for example, I think Joe Mixon has been a very important part of their success. I think Joe Mixon doesn't get enough credit for what he has done for them.
I would agree.
I would also, you know, it's interesting too. So the Niners are actually kind of like, the Niners are sort of they make both points. Running game has been a huge part of their success. It's critical. They've also been able to do it with a bunch of different guys. And that's kind of the argument, right? Like, there's another guy you can draft. You can always get, and that's true. But you know what? The Titans also got within a half a football of a Super Bowl, and there's no disputing why, right? So, I mean, that's still in this era of football that a running back damn near carried a team to the Super Bowl. So, again, you can't – there's just nothing that's a rule that's absolutely across the board no matter what.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Jonathan Taylor commented on this yesterday on Twitter as well, and he's kind of like that next guy that's going to be looking for a deal. And, I mean, I just wonder, with Saquon not really getting a deal, with Josh Jacobs not getting a deal, if you're a running back right now, especially a younger guy, like look, Jonathan Taylor fits them all, but even like Bijan Robinson, right? Like, what do you think is going through Bijan Robinson's mind right now? Obviously, he's a rookie. There's a long way to go until he gets to his next contract. But I mean, I would think like somewhere in the back of his mind, he's thinking, man, like, is this, am I going to ever get paid like that second deal with my team that drafts me? Like, is Atlanta going to do that at some point?
No, look, I think you have to approach your career now. If you're in that phase, like, first of all, like anybody, it's hard to get a second deal. So do that first. Okay. Stay healthy, right. Be good, get a second deal. Can you do that? Then good job. But you know what? Your second deal is probably the tag. And the tag's like 10 mil. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think the effect on this is, we've talked about this. We talked about this with Charles before. We talked about this several times in the show before. The effect on this is the 15-year-old right now, who is the absolutely a superstar running back, who could be a Heisman level running back, who's like, I'm either a linebacker or a receiver. I'm not doing it. And I think there's going to be a talent drain at the position, you know, long term. I really do. It's really interesting too. There was an Athlon article. I think it was Athlon, but if it was like Phil Steele, I apologize. But it wasn't that long ago, and it was a bunch of college coaches asked a bunch of different questions. And one of the questions was, again, this is probably like the 2010s, but the question was, if you could pick one position on your team to be the best player on the field, who would it be? And, you know, the obvious, I mean, they might have said quarterback can't be the answer, but running back was very prominent as an answer, you know? It's, Like you think about Alabama and their national championship team with Derrick Henry. And they had very average quarterbacking. They had great receivers, they had great everything else, but they were built around Derrick Henry. That was not that long ago.
No, it's crazy. Like it's obviously the NFL part of it is shifting, but like we've even talked about this in college football too, of like, winning the Heisman Trophy. When's the next time you're going to see a running back win the Heisman Trophy, right? It's crazy to think about just how different that position is viewed now. And Saquon Barkley, he's trying to get that long-term deal. And we brought up the injury issues with him. I think that's if I'm the Giants, probably the main reason why I'm a little hesitant there. But now, what's he going to do? Adam Schefter tweeted this out yesterday. He's not signed the franchise tender yet, so he's technically not under contract, so he's not going to get fined for missing training camp. So I do wonder, how far is a Saquon Barkley willing to take this of not playing? Like, is he willing to actually miss games by the time the regular season rolls around? Or at some point, does he look around and say, that's money I'm missing out on. I'm just going to sign the franchise tag and try to do this again next year?
He has to do that. I mean, it stinks, and I'm sure there's some guys who are would encourage him to not. But man, I think he's got to play football. Get paid when you can get paid.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, could the Tennessee Titans be taking a page out of the Green Bay Packers playbook with the quarterback position? I'll tell you what I mean by that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Back in Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are live from SEC Media Days here at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in downtown Nashville. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We do have some technical difficulties that we're working through, so we ask for your patience on that front. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Ty on the text line says, I'm not paying those three guys either, talking about the running backs. Jacobs had one great season following mediocrity. Saquon has been more hurt than healthy. Great when healthy, but only been healthy 2 seasons. Pollard is literally injured and has never taken a primary role all season. Derrick Henry is the only one that's been healthy and consistent, and he got his deal done. They should all be thrilled with the tag, in my opinion. This is from Ty on the text line. Liam on the text line says, the decline in importance and value of the NFL running back is directly related to the league promoting more excitement in the passing game by protecting quarterbacks and nerfing defensive tactics. It's sad for these guys that sacrifice their bodies and have such short careers. This is from Liam on the text.
You buy that at all?
Not really. I mean, the game's going that way for sure. I don't know that it's I don't know because the rules are more friendly for passing that that's the reason that it's torpedo. I just think when you look at the way the game is played now, it's just about money allocation, right? Like it's about if you feel like you can replace a running back, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in free agency, whatever it is, and you can do so cheaply, then that's just what it is at this point. Like I don't know, do you buy that the rules have impacted how the running back positions play?
Like I said to Liam, I think there's some truth. To me, it's the passing, emphasis. But I don't really. I just think it's more passing league. But as far as like the league promoting more excitement, look, this league can promote whatever it wants to do. When it comes down to it, it's about the people who decide how the game is played, figuring out how they beat each other, right? And that's what it is. I mean, and this is where. I heard this on on another show, and I apologize for I think I don't remember the show. It was a national show recently about, and we thought this too. What happens is everything's cyclical, right? I mean, look, you look at like in college football, for example. Think about how all of a sudden the option started coming back in like the 2000s, right? With the and the read option stuff with Rich Rod at West Virginia, whatever. I mean, there's cyclical things. There are going to be teams, and I actually think the Titans kind of already have done this, who are going to look and say, man, that defense has a bunch of 215-pound guys really run well, but what if we just run them over? And I mean, that's what the Titans did. almost all the way to the Super Bowl, right? So, I mean, I'm a long way of saying to Liam, I think it's not the promotion of the Pats. I don't know, the rules. It's just about the fact that right now the best teams have the best passing offenses, have the best quarterbacks, the best receivers. And that's just how, look, let's face it. It's easier to get an 80-yard touchdown pass than it is to get an 80-yard touchdown run. And to score more points if you can be efficient in that way and spread the ball over the field. So it is weird. One of the weird things about all this is, the running backs kind of like breaking down, and so many of them having short careers. When you compare the pounding people at that position used to take, I can't totally explain that. You know what I mean? Think like Eddie George, and Eddie George just talked about this, like the practices, the physical practices every single day. There were way less protections for running backs back then, too. Head to head shots. You clothesline someone back then, you're fine. You don't get a flag, and yet it feels like the careers are shorter, like more guys are running into injury issues.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, and this is going to be really interesting to keep an eye on with the running backs as they move forward here, both with Barkley and Jacobs and Pollard and those guys. But when those next deals come up, what are the Colts going to do with Jonathan Taylor? That's going to be really interesting to see what that looks like too. We'll keep our eyes on that. Joe, there was one thing that we discussed yesterday that is really interesting from the DeAndre Hopkins standpoint of signing with the Titans. What does it mean for Ryan Tannehill? What does it mean for the quarterback position moving forward? And I heard Jared talking about this yesterday too. The 2-year deal that Hopkins signed, does that signal to you that maybe the Titans have more than just this year in mind with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry? Now, we said it yesterday, and I still believe this. If I'm putting betting odds on it, my betting odds are that Will Levis is the starting quarterback for the Titans in 2024. But, he doesn't have to be. We've seen quarterbacks come in, and they sit for a while, and then all of a sudden they're the starter. Look in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers set for 3 years. Look in Green Bay again. Jordan Love set for 3 years. It's not automatic that your quarterback comes in and plays immediately. So if things go well this year and DeAndre Hopkins looks good out there, Ryan Tannehill has a good year, Derrick Henry has another good year, how much of a possibility are we leaving open? I guess how much of an open mind do we have that the Titans are going to have an open mind on the quarterback position and with Derrick Henry at the end of this season?
I don't look at this deal as any more. I don't put the two things together. That's just me. Again, without knowing all of the guarantees and everything at this point, I don't think this is like them thinking, we may be going next year with these guys. I think you have to have an open mind when the season plays out. But I think this deal is to get him signed and, potentially, give yourself a little more room this year. Should be able to, I think, get out of it next year relatively painlessly. But at the same time, because the thing is, if I'm Mike Vrabel and I'm thinking that Will Levis is the quarterback next year, I also would like to have a good DeAndre Hopkins with him, right? I don't understand how that relates to another year of Tannehill. A good veteran receiver would be great for your young quarterback. Wouldn't you like to help your young quarterback? So I don't put the two together. Now, with Henry, I'm with you as we've talked about. I don't think it's likely it's going to happen anyway, especially with Tannehill. I could see next year Levis. Hopkins back, he's good, everything, and then the Titans try to get Henry back for a year, but not Tannehill. I can see that. I think that's more likely, right? I think of those two guys, I think Tannehill being gone is the more likely thing. That's just how I read it. I could be wrong.
Well, if he's, let's say, Levis is the quarterback next year and Hopkins plays well this year, so you got Hopkins coming back, you would have Treylon Burks in year three at that point, Chigakonkwo year three. It's an interesting thought of what the offense could look like around it. I'm with you. I don't necessarily equate the DeAndre Hopkins 2-year deal to automatically meaning that the Titans are considering bringing back Tannehill and Henry next year. I mean, I do wonder what that would take, though. We've talked about that before. Like, what would it take from this team? What would it take from Ryan Tannehill individually for them to have the appetite to consider bringing him back? Because, I mean, some people would say you just spent a second-round pick and a high second-round pick to move up to do it on Will Levis. You just got to see what you have next year as a starter. And I understand that thought process. I do wonder, like, if you're Carthon and Vrabel viewing this, how much of an open mind do you actually have to that? And how much of it is – it's just Tannehill's year this year, and then we're going with Levis. Is there an open mind?
I think you have to have – you got to leave the door cracked. But I'd say cracked. Remember, Levis second-round pick, so Levis doesn't have a fifth-year option. So although we've had Junie, unfortunately and sadly, arguing that Levis should start this year, which is still maybe the take of the year. One of his points is that, you know, he doesn't have the fifth year. Well, to me, it's like, well, whatever. If he's good and you have 3 years of him being good, then you sign him. You sign him another deal. But if you think about, you know, all of a sudden you reduce it to a 2 year situation with him, right? I mean, the contract in the second round landing spot does kind of affect your mindset, I would think. So I think the door is cracked because we don't know what's going to happen. What if the Titans are one of the greatest teams of all time? Ryan Tannehill, you know, all of a sudden makes a case for Canton with a all pro year. I mean, what if that happens? I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, it wouldn't take that much to me for them to really think hard about bringing Tannehill back. But no, like doing this deal while they were doing it, as they were talking about it, I don't think that those two guys were part of the discussion. This is a deal that can work for you regardless of who else is in the offensive back.
Were you surprised that it was a 2 year deal? Because I think a lot of people thought, both from maybe the team standpoint, well, whoever it was going to be that signed DeAndre Hopkins, whether that was New England, Tennessee, whoever, and from the player standpoint, maybe a 1 year deal made sense. Because, like, from his standpoint, if DeAndre Hopkins came in and he played really well, maybe he gets more interest in the payday next year, whereas now with the 2 year deal, you know, I'm sure the Titans could get out of it if they wanted to. But, you know, if he plays really well, the Titans are just going to say, yep, come on back. We got money for you here. Were you surprised that a 2 year deal is what it ended up being?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit because if you're betting on your, if you're him and you're betting on yourself right now, then you could make the case, no. 1 year deal, and then next year, everybody's, you know, the market will be better. But at the same time, if you're him and his agent, it's like, well, look, here's more money with this, a little bit more security. I mean, and almost you could look at it like him kind of admitting, yeah, I mean, it has been two straight years when I've been banged up and haven't been very effective. So maybe, you know, maybe this isn't such a bad idea.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what that how we view that money. I mean, there were some people yesterday talking about, did the Titans overpay for DeAndre Hopkins? I think the money's about right in line with where I thought it would be. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063 The Game. We are presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. We'll have more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from SEC Media Days here at the Grand Hyatt Hotel here in downtown Nashville. The 1025 The Game's SEC Media Days coverage is brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. We'll have a lot of Vanderbilt discussion later today on the program. Have Vanderbilt's day today at SEC Media Days. Tennessee coming up on Thursday, so looking forward to all that. In the meantime, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Kenan Waverly on the text line says, what would you guys consider a good year to keep them? Discussing or talking about Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry there. Now, it's a good question. The Henry part of this, I mean, look, if Derrick Henry, to me, Joe, if he does what he did last year and he rushes for 1,400, 1,500 yards, somewhere in that neighborhood, which has become, when he's healthy, a yearly occurrence at this point. mean, I know he's 30, but the running back market right now dictates to me that he's probably not going to get a huge deal out there. So some of that's going to be how does Derrick Henry view the Titans and where they're at with their team, and does he want to go after a ring? Does he want a ring chase somewhere else? But I also think, like, if he has another good year, if you're the Titans, I think it makes a lot of sense to consider bringing him back. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a 3-year deal or anything like that. But I think the running back market right now is telling us that I don't know how much interest is going to be out there for Derrick Henry, at least with the money that he's probably going to be looking for at that point.
The sad reality for Derrick Henry, in my opinion, and look, I hope I'm wrong on this, but I believe that no matter what he does this year, he will get offered a 1-year deal from someone next year. A 1-year deal. Maybe a 2. Like you just saw with Hopkins. But again, Hopkins receiver as compared to a running back. But in all likelihood, you know, a 1-year, yeah, let's give it a try. Even if he looks incredible because of his age. And again, because there are a lot of teams out there, most of the teams out there, who would look at how he plays and say, gosh, we're going to have to change this, this, and this to accommodate that and to make the investment worthwhile. I mean, that's the thing about Derrick Henry and the Titans is right now they are, you know, again, until it stops working, and I know they just lost 7 straight games, but they are, they work together, you know. They're just, it's a different situation, and they work perfectly together, and they should stay together as long as he's what he is. But if it does turn out that he has to hit the market, I think it would be a ridiculously low offer for him relative to what he may still be. Because, like you said, what if he does the same thing, has like a 1,500-yard season? People don't want that. And years ago, that's where someone out there is like, yeah, sign him to a 3-year deal. I mean, he's still got some, you know, tread on the tires. But I think in his 30s now, and again, stylistically, how he doesn't fit a lot of teams, I think it would be a depressing offer. I mean, so brace yourself for that. It's like he's going to be disrespected probably because that's what the league – that's how the league views running backs right now.
Well, and the thing is, like, I think – I almost expect him to rush for somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,400 yards this year. Like, that's kind of my expectation for what it's going to be, which is still an incredibly high number. I mean, you know, I think the days of 2,000 are probably behind him at this point. But, I mean, 1,400 yards, that's a pretty darn good season at that point. And I agree with you. Like, I don't think the market out there will be a ton. Like, there will be teams that are interested, but how much money are they willing to – pay a guy like Derrick Henry, I don't think it's going to be all that much. So, like, if you're the Titans, that's why the more I've thought about this, the more I don't know that I'm convinced that this is going to be his last year here with the Titans, just because, I mean, it may make sense for him to – may make sense for both him and for them to keep him around here longer than everybody else. As far as the question from Ken on what's a good season for Tannehill look like, that's the one that's I think is a little bit tough because – I think he could have a statistically really good season. And if the Titans are one and done in the playoffs, or maybe even if they don't make the playoffs, do you make the change at that point anyway? Like, I guess how much of Ryan Tannehill's good season where you consider bringing him back, how much of that is also related to team success? Whereas, like, Derrick Henry, I kind of view Derrick Henry's as more of a statistical thing rather than a team thing, if that makes any sense.
Yes. No, I do. And that's the thing. Like with Derrick Henry, if he flourishes and has another good year, and again, it's a different offense. I mean, the running play is going to look a lot the same, but it is a different offense. If it all works together and he's effective, then I think you can really make the case, you know, to try to bring him back understanding that, like, it's not going to take a ton. Now he may still be like, no, I'm gonna see what I can get out there, which I would understand, you know, because again, not that long ago, someone with his performance and profile would absolutely right now expect an extension. Like, are you kidding me? You guys are gonna let me play in last year my deal? But now everybody just knows it. Just how it goes, right? Tannehill to me would have to be spectacular, and the team success would have to be spectacular too. And also, again, you can't talk about that situation, like Tannehill possibly staying, without considering, and also on a daily basis, what do they think about Will Levis? Are they seeing a guy who, okay, he can step in next year and start? Or are they like, oh man, we messed up? Like, I don't know. And you also include Malik Willis in the discussion too. But do they expect a massive drop out of the position the next year? And I guess you could say maybe they're okay with that. But I don't think Vrabel is keen on losing for any reason ever.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's become pretty clear that that is the case. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gene, all the text line, says, so Derek gets a second 2,000-yard season that has never been done before. What do you do? You cut a first-round Hall of Fame guy? Oh, yeah, Tannehill throws for 4,000 yards. Jeez. I'm doing this. If Ryan Tannehill throws for 4,000 yards and Derrick Henry rushes for 2,000 yards, it's going to be a heck of a year around here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess after the parade on Broadway, they can talk contract.
Yeah.
No, I mean, again, like to your point, Gene, I think you have to keep leaving the door cracked. You have to have an open mind. I think Derrick Henry, if I was going to put percentage on it, like Derrick Henry back next year, I mean, I'd still put that at like 25%, something like that. 25-30%. Okay. Tannehill, I'd put it like 5%. I think there's a pretty big difference.
I think it's fair. And the D-hop part of this too. I mean, I agree. Like, if Will Levis is the guy taking over in 2024, let's say they didn't sign Hopkins. Well, you're still looking at that point. Number one, they have a lot of money, and they'll have a lot of money next year anyway still to go out there and spend in free agency. But, I mean, there is value in having a veteran wide receiver presence out there that you feel good about. Now, we'll see how they feel about Hopkins. I mean, Hopkins this year, there's a lot left to be determined about what he still is. And we talked a lot about that yesterday in terms of what he could bring to the table. We'll get into a little bit more of Hopkins specifically coming up here in just a few minutes. But from the Levis standpoint, when you're evaluating who your quarterback's going to be in 2024, if you're the Titans, you know, I do think having a veteran receiver in there, whether it's Tannehill or whether it is Levis, is important. Because, again, if you're talking about Treylon Burks in year three at that point, Kyle Phillips in year three at that point, and depending on the type of seasons those two guys have this year, they've got experience, but you still want a guy in there that's probably been through a little bit more battles than those guys have been through. And can do it at a starting level. Like, it's one thing to have, you know, starting level experience and experience at that position, but, like, you know, if you got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or Chris Moore, I mean, no disrespect to those guys, but they shouldn't be starters in the NFL. So it is a little bit different with D-Hop coming in.
Yeah, that's in terms of just his presence, if he's what you hope he is and he bucks the Titans' trend of receivers' careers coming here to fade away, then I would absolutely love him to be on the team for Will Levis or Malik Willis. That would be fantastic. So, yeah, I just, you know, it's like these two different timelines, but there are some players who are working either one. You know, like Jeffrey Simmons is going to be part of a Super Bowl team or a rebuild or whatever. He's going to be on the team. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, if he's good, whoever's quarterbacking next year, whatever the situation is, the Titans will take that.
Yep, no question about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. So you're not buying the idea that Will Levis could sit there for a couple of years. To your point, the one thing that's really different about that is there is no fifth-year option for Will Levis. And, you know, the Rodgers situation, obviously, there was. Jordan Love situation, obviously, there was. You know, you don't see quarterbacks that are drafted that high sit longer than a year too often. But I would put the percentage chance. You said 5% for Tannehill. That's about right. I might go a little higher at like 8 or 9, but I'm not going much higher than that.
Your guy Aaron Rodgers said how many years in Green Bay?
3.
Okay. You got Jordan Love.
3.
All right. It happens.
I'm saying. I mean, it does happen.
It does happen in this league.
We'll see what happens.
And both Hall of Famers.
Well, so. Yeah, Jordan Love, future Hall of Famer. Exactly. We'll see what happens on that front. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll get into the DeAndre Hopkins signing a little bit more coming up next. What would constitute a good season for DeAndre Hopkins? What are your expectations for him as he dons the two-tone blue? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.